Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is, again, the third Monday of the month on G's Power Hour, and that means we got some cooking to do, and you know, this month is the season for cooking, and we have Chef Z to kind of guide us through. Good morning, Chef Z Carter. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm well. And yourself?
I'm blessed, and I'm so appreciative that you've joined us again. Thank you so much.
Glad to be here.
So, like I said, 'tis the season, and I instead of trying to get through the butterball, who's going to give us the standard traditional stuff on the turkey and stuff, I figure I'll ask you what your thoughts are this year on that and some other things. So, take it away. Lead us down the path of good cooking.
Okay. Well, first I want to put this out there. You know, this is my opinion strictly.
Yes, ma'am.
I say that if you're not celebrating with people who are directly in your household, do like takeout meals that people can just stop by your porch and pick up something, or you deliver it out to people. It's just time that we start to be safe. And I know that food really brings people together, but let food bring us more health, you know, so
Definitely.
We can concentrate on being healthy. And I know we had big plans in my family, and you know, because we have a bigger house, we were going to host everybody. And then, you know, it just doesn't make sense for us. And even at my cafe, this would have been our first Thanksgiving there, but we'd opted for meals that people could carry out and take home. They can pick up curbside, and we even added a little brunch to it because we know people tend to eat all day. My family, I don't know about yours, but we tend to start first thing in the morning. And I don't know if I've ever shared with you that I never knew turkeys had legs. I mean, I know they walk, but I thought by the time that you got, if you bought a turkey from the store, that
yes.
It came without the legs. And this is, as a child, I learned later, but because every time we woke up in the morning, my sisters and I, and we saw the turkey, there was no leg. There are no legs on it. And so one day when I was a little older and my mom would employ us to come in the kitchen to, you know, help her out with the meal, and I saw my dad yanking the legs off the turkey one morning. My mom just took it out, and her turkey, she's an early bird, so her turkey was done by 7 in the morning because she would usually cook the turkey overnight, slow roast it, and so about 7 in the morning, the turkey was done. And so my dad would wake up and go eat the turkey legs for breakfast. So by the time us kids woke up, there was no legs. So I just thought that was always like a revelation. So like, turkeys do have legs.
Yeah, but, you got let in on a secret, huh?
I know, isn't that so? I mean, some of my fondest food memories are always going to be around Thanksgiving, and especially my dad and the turkey. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, with the way things are going now, I just, you know, just want to implore everybody to just think about safety, you know. And since we, some of us are not going to have that big house full of people, some of the pressure may be off of us, this may be a good year to kind of experiment with your sides. Turkeys this year are going to be easier to cook because they are smaller. The turkey industry has reported that their turkeys are coming in 2 to almost 5 pounds smaller than in previous years. Yes, and this is because, it's funny how in the circle of life, and turkeys are included, if there's no one there to feed them and do the things that they need to do, they just are smaller birds. And even chickens have actually started to be smaller, which I have no issue with that because I love, stuff in its naturality, so yeah. I don't want a big pumped up chicken. So, but every poultry has suffered. So your turkeys are going to be easier to cook, but you still need to make sure that you do buy it in enough time so you can get that turkey in the fridge so it can safely thaw the days prior to Thanksgiving. The worst way to thaw your turkey is sitting it out in the sink to thaw overnight out in the elements. The safest way to thaw your turkey is in the refrigerator 3 to 4 days ahead of Thanksgiving. So if I were you, I would be out scoping for my turkey right now. We're using turkey breast, so I actually already picked mine up. And I just put them in our freezer because I just wanted to have them because, we don't know what's going on.
Right.
I wanted to try to avoid and I feel good. I'm getting kind of lazy, but I felt good about it. I did Target pickup.
Really?
They have turkey breast. That you can actually bake in the bag. I don't because I still want to brine mine. But I bought enough for family and friends, and I got a deal. I got $10 off, $50 from Target, and I could drive up and not even get out the car, and someone came to the car and threw them in the trunk, and I was on my way. So that was just like a win-win for me, and I'm probably going to take those out of the freezer probably Monday so I can get them defrosted by Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and then I'm going to brine mine overnight. And so brining your turkey to me is the ultimate way to go. If you don't brine your turkey, I feel sorry for anyone who has to experience it because it's not going to be the best. You have to brine turkey. Now, have you ever brined your turkey?
I can't say that I have. When my mom was alive, she did a lot of cooking, and then I felt like I needed to do a lot of cooking after she one year she's like, okay, that's it, I'm not doing it anymore. And then I felt like, since from that point until she passed, because she always cooked a big dinner, whether, it was two or 20 people. And I always felt like I needed to do that. And I enjoy it, but it's just me and my husband. So I've gotten away from doing the bird all the time and done some other things, it's still poultry, but, I've gotten, the turkey tenderloins that they sell at Aldi.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with it. Okay. So 1 year I got those and I got the stuffing everything in, and then I wrapped the stuffing in the, turkey tenderloins after I flattened them out a bit. And I cut them and I did like medallions with gravy and stuff like that. So I've done that and just done, 1 year I think we did the Cornish game hens. Because it's, like I said, it's just the two of us, and just didn't want to have that overload of food to deal with. Some leftovers are fine. After a while, it's,
it's a nightmare, right? I know, and that's what happens to us now. That, my father was the biggest meat eater, and my husband and I say we're flexitarians. So if there isn't any meat, we're okay. And then vice versa, if there are some, if there is some, we are okay that way too. But I don't just go out and just go buy it in bulk like that. So that's why I chose the turkey breast. But I wasn't worried about it being dry or anything because I know I'm going to brine them. But even with your other poultry, like your game hen, those benefit from brining as well too. You can brine just about anything, but poultry is the most receptive to it because that salt content, it just locks in juices and any flavor that you add into the meat, and it just forms like a seal. And so all of that brine that meat has absorbed, that's in the bird. And so when you're cooking it, it's just more, you just get an awesome turkey. I could just think about all the juices because when you brine turkey and you cook it in a bag like I do, you see all this broth that's down there. I get at least a couple cups of broth. And I love it. Yeah, I love it because there's my gravy. I'm looking at it, you know. And it just makes for a juicy turkey. And if you don't eat it all and you freeze it and you have to reheat it, it's still good. So, like I said, there's so many benefits to brining your turkey. And on top of that, there's even more flavor options. You know, there's my favorite that I do is I do a citrus and berry type brine. So I use my standard brining solution. And it's going to vary per pound of turkey or chicken that you have. So I advise people to go look up the little, just Google brining chart, poultry brining chart. And it'll tell you how much salt to water to sugar that you can use to brine your turkey per pound. And then what I do to that is I use Florida oranges because they're getting ready to be in season. So they're going to taste the best this time of the year. So I use Florida oranges and I'll use cranberry and a cinnamon stick. And sometimes I've used other spices in there, of course, sage. I make a little bouquet garnier of your parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Try not to bring it off. But you add those things with that citrus, and it just brings out this nice, clean turkey taste to it with just a slight citrusy aftertone to it. And it's just such a delightful turkey. And especially if you're going to have cranberry sauce with that, it's lovely. In past years, I've done a brown sugar and citrus, brown sugar and orange. It's a little bit of rum or some kind of brown liquor like Jack Daniels or something like that. And that's also been a big hit. That's been a big hit in my family as well. So there are so many flavor combinations to brining. So you're going to add flavor and moisture, so you just can't go wrong with your turkey. But my biggest thing that I always preach this time of the year is to make sure that you buy your turkey in time to safely defrost it. That's just going to be the best thing because trying to cook a frozen turkey or a partially thawed turkey is just going to lead to illness and disaster.
Yes, I know that from personal experience.
I think almost everybody's had one of those almost giblet thing, or I did, or I thought my turkey was done and my stuffing was bloody. And that's another thing. I never put stuffing or dressing inside of my turkey. This is the time
I do a little of both.
You do. I never we used to coming up, and then, you know, when everybody started getting sick, we kind of pulled back from it. But I found from my culinary school days, this is the time that you want to concentrate on this turkey and stuffing it. You're not going to give this turkey all the attention that it needs. And so the inside cavity of your turkey, I stuff it with oranges and green apples because apples help the moisture content as well, and more herbs. So I buy so many fresh herbs. It might look like a flower bouquet, but I love putting those herbs and those green Granny Smith apples and sometimes the crab apples. I'm going to stuff that with big leaves of sage and big old sprigs of thyme, and I get that all in the inside cavity of my turkey and just get it going. And believe me, like I said, you're going to have a turkey like you've never had before. And even with my turkey breast, what I'll do is I'll put those apples and orange slices on the bottom of my bag and sit my turkey breast on top and wrap my breast up tightly inside the bag with those fruit on the bottom. Again, like I said, it puts your turkey game in a whole new arena. Whole new arena. So
okay, so I have some questions before we go any further, because you're making me hungry. But the one thing I wanted to know, I have gotten to the point now that I try to do some stuff in advance because I want to enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday like everybody else. And I know some people like the whole gathering around and watching the chef cook in the new types of kitchens and stuff like that. Personally, number one, I don't have that big of a kitchen. Number two, I don't necessarily want a whole bunch of people watching me cook. So I want to know, what can I make in advance and what will maintain its integrity if I cook it in advance and put it in a refrigerator or put it in a freezer, even desserts or whatever you suggest? What do you suggest?
Well, the first thing I like to do is I like to actually go backwards with my meal and preparing it ahead of time. So, like, the dessert, like our pies, you know, that's what my family, we're known for. We saw our pies up to that day before. We're getting our potatoes roasted and broken down and getting our batter for our pie together, and we'll actually get it all the way. It needs to be put in a pie crust, and you actually will just put that batter in the refrigerator. So that's all done. There's nothing for us to do but the pie in the oven Thanksgiving morning. So you can get that. You can do a pie, get your pie all mixed up, even if it's pumpkin. You can do that Sunday, Monday, get in the refrigerator. We do it all the time. And then back from there, you know, you can, if your turkey is ready or you need to get it in the refrigerator to thaw, so you get that together. This is Monday, you know, you're doing that. Tuesday, if you're, let's just say this is a traditional meal, so you're talking about green beans and stuff, go ahead. And if you're one that likes to snip your green beans and do your vegetables, snip your green beans and stuff like that, you may necessarily not peel your potatoes, but you may want to get your potatoes all washed up. You know, we do potato salad, so any of the boil your eggs and stuff like, you know, if you put onions, any of those extras that you put inside of your side dishes, prep all of those things. So Thanksgiving morning, if you're a traditionalist and you want to do cooking, you've got everything already. But like you, if you want a time, then you can start really getting stuff done or par cooked on Tuesday and Wednesday, Tuesday night, Wednesday. So you could do your green bean casserole, and you don't have to cook it. You can assemble it all in the pan and get it ready to go into the oven, you know. So Tuesday night you can get your green bean casserole all together, wrap that up in a pan and put it back in the fridge. So Thanksgiving morning you're just putting it in the oven. If you make macaroni and cheese, go ahead and boil your noodles. You can go ahead and boil your noodles. And then all you have to do Thanksgiving or the Wednesday before is just put your noodles in hot water. You don't even have to boil them. Just put them back in hot water and add your sauce to that and carry on. So just about the whole part of your, the whole meal can be prepped ahead of time. And then things can be put in the oven or reheated on the stove the day of. There is nothing that I would tell you that has to be done Thanksgiving. I've been doing it for years when I service my clients. When I solely worked as a personal chef, I have a few clients who like to give the illusion of they cooked. So I go in Wednesday and I preset their meal, and we get everything ready. It goes in the fridge, and so all that they are doing Thanksgiving morning is they are using both of their ovens and they are heating or finishing off cooking the rest. And the only real thing that's really, really cooking that day is the actual turkey. So you can pre-make everything. The only other thing that I might would leave for Thanksgiving Day is the mashed potatoes. And that's just because mashed potatoes are just best when you just make them. But you can pre-make the entire meal if you want. But the key is not overcooking your food and leaving room for your food to safely reheat in the oven. The oven is going to give you the best reheat. So, you know, buy plenty of foil pans. Don't crowd your food and definitely don't overcook it. Even like I do a cornbread pudding, a corn pudding. And so it cooks for about 35, 40 minutes. So I actually cook it for 20 so it can set. And I turn the oven off and let it set. So it's not, it hasn't browned again on me because all the egg, so the egg is cooked. So that way my client, all they have to do is they put it back in the oven for another 10, 15 minutes at the most, and then the top of that corn pudding, it browns and it reheats at the same time. So then they get better results. So that's the key, is not overcooking again. But you can make the whole meal.
Okay. Sounds good. I guess you're making me hungry now. A quick question about the next holiday, Christmas. Are there anything that you should be, if you're planning on doing a Christmas dinner, things that people should be pre-shopping for?
Well, if you are lucky enough to know what you want for Christmas, hooray for you.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of things, again, with the uncertainty of, you know, I don't think we're going to necessarily have a shutdown, but I think we're going to have a time of caution. And so we want to avoid the grocery store. So now isn't a bad time to plan your holiday Christmas meal. If you know what you're going to get, I suggest going to get it now. Get it now. Get it over with.
Well, one of the reasons I asked about it, Christmas, and I know people are saying, well, wait a minute, we haven't gotten to Thanksgiving. But one of the things that I heard is because of the pandemic and some people deciding to cook more at home, that spices are getting low you don't see them on the shelf as much. So that's one of the reasons I was asking about that. Is there anything maybe in that category that someone could possibly stock up on?
Oh, for sure. And that was, you know, my urge of caution is, get it now while you can, no matter what it is. I mean, I normally, and I haven't really been in the grocery store, but normally, like, I See, even in the circulars, like cranberries, just being on sale and being bountiful. And I see a little push, but not like we normally would do. You know, this time last year, we were picking up cranberries from Aldi for like under $1 a bag, you know. And now when I ask my Instacart shopper, you know, I'm like, are there cranberries? And they're like, no, you know. So it's not that the production is low. It's just it hasn't been in a while, or things had to shut down or come to a halt. So all industries are suffering, and that's including the spices. So, yes, if you can get those things, get them. I don't want to create the toilet paper
dash. Yeah, let's not do that.
But getting the spices, yeah, they don't really go bad. Yes, they're not as potent over time, but your spices don't really go bad either. So I'm not saying if you have cinnamon and you feel like you have plenty, then you're fine. And you're not a big baker, you're fine. If you're someone like me who's a baker, like I suffered over the summer because people were baking bread, and when I went for yeast, I couldn't find any. So, little things like that, if you know there's things that are going to be in your future that you want to do, my suggestion outside of toilet paper is go ahead and get it. You know, because they're, and it's the shortage is because the production was down because people had to stay home and stay away from each other. So that's, really what it is. So yes, any of those things that you can get that you're seeing now for Thanksgiving, if you know, like you and your husband, you eat one can of cranberry sauce for Thanksgiving and you eat one for Christmas, go pick up two. You know, you don't need 22, just pick up two and write on one, this is our Christmas can, this is our Thanksgiving can. And so you have it. Same for pumpkin. I don't know if people remember about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a pumpkin shortage. Canned pumpkin shortage. So even things like that, pumpkin, I predict, I hate to say this, but it's going to be a little tight on the shelf. If you don't bake eight pies, don't get eight cans. But, if you need one for Thanksgiving and you need one for Christmas, go get it because it's going to be a mad dash. And, you want to be prepared. But think outside of the box, too. Maybe don't bake a pumpkin pie. Bake a vanilla pound cake. There's sugar and flour floating around. So think outside the box and then get yourself some, pumpkin creamer and make, a pumpkin caramel, or a latte-flavored pound cake. Think outside of the box this holiday. I think that will really, help all industries a lot. And, since you don't have as many people to impress, if there's a dish that comes out not quite as expected, that's okay. You only have a couple disappointed people. The word might not get out. But, because
I'm not worried about impressing. If you want to get fed,
eat it right. Well, that's one or two people that you got to say, no, you bring the paper towels or you bring the ice.
Okay, and I got to. Yeah.
So but if you're that person and you're staying home and you're going to cook for yourself or a few of your closer relatives, then go outside the box and maybe you'll get a signature dish that hopefully this time next year we'll all be dying for you to bring your garlic smashed potatoes or your green bean casserole bundles, things outside the box. And say, we loved when you made those. Can you bring those? Or you can confidently say you're going to bring those because you know they're going to be good,
Okay. Well, Chef, thank you so much, and have a blessed Thanksgiving. And you guys looking for information on Chef Z, check out the G's Power Hour Facebook page. I've posted some information on her
on that page. So, again, thank you so much, and have a blessed Thanksgiving, you and your family.
Thank you. Same to you.
Take care. When we come back, we are going to do an abbreviated version of our hair care hotline with Candace Thomas. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call Our Gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And again, we want to thank Chef Z Carter for joining us and giving us our Thanksgiving tips and a little bit of pre-Christmas ideas as well. And any information you need, there's a little bit on the G's Power Hour Facebook page regarding Chef Z Carter. So now, last week, we usually have our hair care hotline on the second Monday, but we're doing it this week. We're doing an abbreviated version, and we welcome Ms. Candace Thomas. Good morning. How are you, Candace?
Good morning. I'm doing
or
good.
Or afternoon, rather, I should say.
Well, yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, you're right.
Time flies, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, you know, just going day by day, trying to make it to the next journey, you know.
Yeah.
So, hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Okay. So one of my questions is, with us doing a lot of Zooming in the class, Zooming in at work, and Zooming with family and friends, we need to get kind of work on getting our looks together online. It's a little bit different when you have that three-dimensional thing where you can see somebody in person and you kind of get all of the angles and so you know what the hair should look like from each side. But just with the two-dimensional thing, sometimes some hairstyles don't transfer. So I wanted to get your Hey, I'm doing scrunchy girl myself, you know. Every now and then I'll do a little bit more with it. But still, what do you suggest and why?
Honestly, to be honest, in person, I feel like you're more judged than you are online. And I think
okay.
a lot of it is your presence about it. So, like, I've been around a couple of clients where we have styled just the front of the hair around the face. And a lot of them wear headsets. So if you're wearing a headset and you style the front of it, or we'll do, like, a side ponytail, I tell my clients, don't spend the time putting the curls in the back, because 9 times out of 10, no one's going to see the back of your head like that. You just want to make sure that if you do turn profile, which you really shouldn't be turning profile per se, if you're one of those people that have like a setup behind you, you might have to style your whole head, but you kind of make it simple, because the camera doesn't pick up too much of a frizziness. Especially if you have a lot of lighting coming towards your face and you have your background darker, it's not going to pick up the frizz hair that we see in person. So I don't think that we have to put as much effort into it. Still look presentable, but you don't have to, like, do your hair to the nines. So a couple of things I would take in consideration is a ponytail. So a typical ponytail we'll do, if we do like a high pony, or if we do like a ponytail in the back, sometimes to make your face look wider on camera, right? So if you want to have your hair in the ponytail, you might want to bring it around to the side if your hair is long enough to do so. if your hair is a little bit on the shorter side and you can't put it in a ponytail, or your ponytail just looks a little funny, maybe half up, half down. Because you still want to make sure that you bring some framing around your face, because you got to think about it. Everybody's going to see that oval, round, square, squoval, heart-shaped face that you have. So it's where you want to kind of bring attention to it. So like for me, when I'm doing Zoom, I always make sure I have a little bit of hair coming down in the front of my face. And if I don't, I'll wear like a headband that has like a cute little bow that's coming down the side, something to kind of bring, take away the attention of how wide my face is. That's what I would take in consideration, is what your face looks like, what you're giving off to other people, and what you want them to see. So if you're curious on what you're showing people, literally take your camera on your phone and do a selfie of what you look like, and then see if that's what you want people to see. Like, you're like, oh man, my cheekbones are a little wide. Well, maybe you need to bring some little hairs from your ponytail in the back. Maybe you need a little bang. And then, or maybe you just need to re-change of how you wear your hair. So that's what I would recommend.
Okay, good advice, good tips. Something else I wanted to ask you about, I was browsing in Walmart one day in the clearance section, and I'm looking at all of this leftover makeup and hair dye and whatever from Halloween. And I'm saying to myself, okay, if you bought this, what do you use it for? Because, you know, unless you are in some sort of, let's say, artistry type of profession or acting or whatever, where you're going to need that makeup, I can't foresee you using it again until next year, Halloween. And by that point, I assume, because we've talked about expired products, I assume that these products are probably not going to be any good, even though they, you know, you're getting a bargain on them because they're on clearance. They're not going to be any good by next Halloween. Am I wrong?
You're right. I think it depends on what you're doing. Those people that are, you know, heavily church dance ministry, I can
that. Candace, you're breaking up a little bit. Oh, no. Did we lose her entirely? Oh, man, we're going to check on that. Anyway, going to try to see if we can get Candace back. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions for Candace when we come back, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Thanks for being with us. And we are here with Ms. Candace Thomas of Be Lavish at Soto, South Downtown Orlando. So, Candace, you were saying, I caught just a little
about
bit of what you were saying.
About the face paint. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
The face
paint and the dyes.
The hair dye, that wouldn't do it. I would not do that. It's already super synthetic, super processed hair dye, because a lot of times people, when they sell that kind of hair dye, it's only to use temporarily. It's really not very many people want to walk around with, like, neon yellow hair. Some do, but majority don't. So I wouldn't buy the hair dye, personally. Personally, wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy it, period. That's just me personally, but as far as the makeup, it depends on what you do. Now, if you are the parent of a mom whose child that is in theater, and, you know, theater is running low on funds, hey, that would be a good deal for you. Or if you are in the dance ministry at your church and they do my ministry and they need white and black paint, definitely dive in. But if you're talking about using it for the next year, that is going to be so hard. It's not going to be cream anymore. You won't be able to spread it. You won't be able to use it properly. You're just wasting your money at the end of the day. Just because it's marked off doesn't mean that it is a good buy for you, okay? And that goes around even regular hair products as well, because my thing is, if you're discounting this much product and it's either A, going on discontinued, or B, it didn't get an overall good response from majority of people that were, you know, they were marketing it to. So I personally wouldn't buy it, not unless there's a cause. Like, you know, I'm trying to save for the theater production because Christmas plays are coming up, and that's one less thing I need to worry about. You know, then yeah, but not for just to save it next year. No, I wouldn't.
Okay, thanks for that. I kind of agreed with you. You know, some of the stuff I wouldn't buy in the first place, but then just trying to hold on to it for, you know, Halloween or some other possible special occasion, unless you're going to use it kind of regularly, I wouldn't do it either. Unfortunately, there's another topic that we have to get back to, something I saw on it's a New York Times post. About should schools or employers be allowed to tell people how they should wear their hair? And what it is, it shows a picture of a guy from UPS, and there's, a recent change at UPS. It says UPS to allow natural black hairstyles and facial hair, and talks about UPS's recent change in policy that allows workers to have facial hair and to wear natural black hairstyles like afro and braids. I can't tell you how frustrated that this keeps. It's like it just keeps coming up. This keeps popping up. You've kind of done some changes in terms of profession or addition in terms of your profession. How are styles received where you work? Because I'm assuming in your case, it's where it's healthcare, it's more of a health issue or safety issue versus cosmetic issue. Is that correct?
Most facilities don't want you to have like crazy colors. And I agree. Like, if you're my nurse and you have like rainbow hair, I don't think I would feel that confident you being working on me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wouldn't that cheer you up?
Not really. No.
Okay.
Because if I'm going through dialysis or, you know, you're my oncology nurse because I got cancer, I don't know if I want you to be that fun with me like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay. Because
honestly, this person could be the brightest person, but studies say that in some professional areas, if you have extreme hair color, that you are looked at as not in the field of choice. So when it comes to medical, and we know when our elderly people, our geriatric elderly people that's in like above 65, they don't feel confident that you know what you're doing. They would rather have the person who has natural hair color to come in. So if you have blue, teal, you know, a lot of places don't take that as serious. Now, if you're working in peds, meaning pediatrics or children, that would be fun for a child to see. But if you're working, you guys see what you're working in, right? So I work in an elderly facility currently, and the texture of your hair is not a problem. You just have to make sure you have it up in a ponytail, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the color of the hair is a problem. They don't want you to have crazy color. Because actually, too, there's another study I came across where a lady paid attention to her nurse's hair color, and it took her into a seizure, no lie. Because it was a bright neon color. So you do. That's another reason why you have to be careful about the type of colors you use. Now, when it comes to texture, I can't help the texture that comes out naturally. You can't help the texture that comes out naturally, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if there's a male staff, a female staff on staff, and she's wearing braids, why couldn't the male wear braids? Especially if they're kept neat, if they're neat and nice, in a way that it still has to be the same standard all the way across the board, because females have to wear the UPS uniform, right? Females have to comply with, you know, their makeup status. And because there's so many changes going on with, like, sexuality, you know, we don't know if Jennifer was a Jerry, you have to still kind of, like, you know, make the playing field a little bit where it's not so different. So if you're going to allow your UPS worker, Jennifer, to wear braids, then Jerry should be able to allow to wear braids or dreadlocks. And I think, too, you know, because we're all trying to be more individualized, it just kind of shows their individuality. Now, when it comes to the school board, if I think it's a catch-22, because if the child's hair is so big because the person behind them can't see the board and it's a distraction in that way, then, yeah, we have to have a conversation with the parent. But if we're just talking about what's naturally in culture, culturally the person, how they wear their hair, you really don't have any say-so. Because what if it's their culture that they can't cut their hair so they can put dreadlocks in? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if it's that culture? Or what if it's their culture to not put any chemicals in their hair, or to not color it, or to not do certain things that culturally they're not supposed to do, or they feel like they're not supposed to do? So that's one of those things, like, it's hard to govern a person's individuality because there's a lot of factual things that they're thinking about that comes into play.
And moving on to another article that really got me is something similar. This is from the BBC. It's posted on their website about Afro wig unsuitable for charity wigs. Afro hair is unsuitable for charity wigs. It's a 10-year-old girl wanted to shave off her hair and send it to a children's wig charity like her friend had done. According to this, her mother was told that the daughter's hair was unsuitable, adding that the girl wanted to donate her hair to another British girl, you know. But the thing is, it's like everybody's hair, though, is not straight and, you know, it's not like a white hair. And if she is, you know, a African-American girl, or, well, not African-American, but if she's a black girl in Britain, there's got to be other black girls in Britain, other black girls in Britain with cancer that would prefer to have a wig with hair that looks like their original hair.
Correct. I agree with you.
So.
I think they should have said differently, because I talked to a person that hand stitches and sews in hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was asking just for my own benefit, right? I just, like, I wanted a curly wig, but I wanted to look really natural from the natural hair. Because typically what they do for hair that looks like mine, they will perm it. They'll still use straight hair, but they'll chemically perm the hair on for the wig after they've sewn it on, because it's easier that way. So they should have worded it differently instead of just saying, oh, we can't use your hair. They should have said it is harder because of how tightly coiled or curled your hair is. It's harder to sew into a wig, to sew to make a wig with it. And here's why. It has nothing to do with her texture. I mean, like, her as an individual person. It has everything to do with the hair, how to make it look as natural as possible. So just because they're giving you natural hair for the fro doesn't necessarily mean that it will make it easier for you to create the piece or the unit that you want it to make. So I think they should have said it that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, explain it to her. Why? Because when you don't explain why, yeah.
This is the explanation they get. Well, first they just said technical reasons, and then they emailed the girl's mother and said, unfortunately, the techniques and instruments used mean that the hair is more prone to breaking due to the different structure of the hair. Despite going to great lengths to try and find a way of utilizing hair of this type, we have unfortunately found that this is not possible. Now,
I wouldn't say it's not possible.
Yeah, they basically should have just said, we don't know how.
Yeah, they should have said, we haven't yet got to those techniques yet to do it. We are grateful that we want you to donate your hair for another person. But we don't know how to transfer your texture hair into a wig. Mm-hmm. And here's some of the techniques we do. And explain your technique on how you make the wig. Because honestly, when people are like, have curly texture, natural hair like mine, we want to donate our hair. And I'll say, well, do you want to donate for a person to use or do you want to donate it for an animal? Because whenever I do big cuts on my hair, I donate my hair to an animal, meaning like, those oil spills, my hair will absorb the oil so that way the little duck can survive. You know what I'm saying? It helps in that way. So there's still avenue, and then they don't like getting straight hair because it's not as absorbent. So you have to just maybe, there's other ways to donate your hair. If your hair is a little bit on the curlier side, it may not be able to benefit someone else, but you can still help your environment with your donation.
Okay. And I know we only got a few minutes left, so I wanted to ask you about something else I saw in terms of for hair dyes, artificial melanin. There was an article on Healthline.com that talks about artificial melanin may allow you to give up traditional hair dye for good. What's your knowledge about this, or have you done anything with artificial melanin?
And I do love Healthline for a lot of reasons. I'm going to check that one out. That's actually a very reputable source there.
Yeah.
Some of the
check
it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that one out. Like, do they use artificial melanin? Like, how do they come about it? Like, where do they get it from? Is it safe?
That's true. That's the other thing too. I mean, and like you said, Healthline is pretty reputable, so I usually like to kind of check out whatever they're posting. But I hadn't gone into it that much, but I didn't know if you had used it at all. So
not for that one, but I have used Healthline for a lot of other stuff yet, but not for that one. But I have to look it up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I posted it on GPH. I'll forward it to you as well. And then Elle Magazine had something about five big trends for winter, and according to J-Lo's stylist. So that's, debatable. Some are good. Some of these styles, some of them are nice, and some of them is like, you could get out of the bed in the morning and look like that and call that a style. Those are just some of the ones that I've seen, because it just seemed like they're, thrown together, or, I'll comb it a little bit here and I'll push it up a little bit there and I'll pull it down a little bit here and there you go.
I think that's just where we're going to, just throwing together hair, because no one's going anywhere. So,
well, okay, that's true. In light of COVID, yeah, that's true. I guess it really doesn't matter except for having the Zoom hair. But
yeah,
I guess it doesn't
just like the chef said, she gets all her stuff Instacarted too, so she ain't doing much public appearances.
I don't know. My girl keeps busy. My chef keeps busy. But my thing is that don't you still want to, number one, don't you still want to look good? And number two, don't you want to stay in practice? I mean, this is not going to be forever.
Yes, because I had my job makes us do a
a weekly COVID test. So every Monday we have to do a COVID test. Mm-hmm. And normally if I work the night before, I just get it done before I get off work. But if I don't work the night before, I got to get it done. So I put on a dress and I did like my eye makeup because I have to wear a mask, you know. And I put a little effort in my hair, but I normally do. But still, I see the other nurses that didn't work the night before come in with their pajamas on, like thrown together. So I think it's a personal thing, you know. And they're like, "Oh, Candace, you look really nice." I'm like, "Yeah, because I really wanted to look nice."
Yeah.
Hopefully that will change. In the new year, that we would get out of this, what I call the rut stage of our lives. Because I see it on the business end, where people who are coming on a regular basis to look good, they were coming like once a month, now come like once every 3 months.
Right.
So it affects across the board, you know, how
people
are. And
there's a lot of different reasons. It's the virus, and then it's the things that have been impacted by the virus. If you've kind of lost some hours on your job or something like that, or you lost your job, you unfortunately can't go, you know, as regularly as you would have liked. But I know I was telling somebody, just because of trying to, you know, keep clean and keep COVID out of my hair and stuff like that, I can't tell you. I've never spent this much money on hair products, and I still shop thriftily, but I've never spent this much money on hair products as I have since COVID. You know, just to keep from losing it, you know, and keep it healthy, you know, keep it looking nice.
So when the time does come, where you can go back to your swimming and, you know, go back to your regular schedule program.
I wasn't trying to think about that. I miss my swimming. But anyway, Candace, thanks so much. How do we find you, dear?
Instagram at Naturally Candy, or Facebook at Candace at Be Lavish. I would say DM me on Instagram because I, for some reason, see those messages a lot faster than the Facebook ones. So if you have any questions, by all means, just go ahead and let me know.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much again. Really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Have a
blessed
day. No
problem. Thank you.
You and your family stay safe.
You as well.
Thanks to all for listening. Don't forget, this is one of those great weeks where we have a lot of my regulars on. We want to thank Chef C again and thank Candace. Coming up on Tech Thursday, we have Burton Kelso back on. And Friday, we have Robert Bowden, Executive Director of Harry P. Lou Gardens. Friday in the Garden coming up, and we have some other good stuff coming up, so stay with us. Thank you for being with us. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.